As long as you live, you'll be tempted to unbelief. Satan uses doubt to attack our faith. Satan aims to separate you and me from God. Whether it's through sickness, death of a loved one, financial troubles, poor harvest, marriage difficulties, sick family, or others even attack your faith, like Job's wife was attacking his faith. Doubt leads us to questions like, does God even love me? Does God care for me? Is there even really a God? What does God do when we doubt? You're fired. Fortunately not. Quite a few years, I think about 15 years ago when I had prostate cancer and there were a lot of complications from my operation, I went into a dark place where I just wished I was dead, deeply depressed. Why me? And all those sort of questions. I'm a pastor, I should be spared. You know, okay, all that sort of stuff. And through that time, it's interesting how God shapes and molds us, you know, to understand others' feelings, to find new purpose for your life, to actually become a blessing for others. So I ended up running a prostate cancer support group. So how does Jesus treat each of us then? We look at the disciples Easter Sunday. This is still, the reading we had today is still Easter Sunday. It's just later in the day. Mary came to the tomb at dawn. This Mary Magdalene came to the tomb at dawn, and it was empty. And she saw the hand of God here because Jesus appeared to her. Peter and John ran to see, and what they needed to see was the proof from the cloth. We have this white cloth here. Most, at least Lutheran churches and probably most other churches have a white cloth long like this. This is to remind us of the cloth that Jesus was wrapped in. That's why it actually doesn't end here like we would normally, but ends here to let us know it's long like the one that wrapped Jesus. Then this is meant to represent the stone slab that Jesus was laying on. So Jesus, when Peter and John saw that long cloth that had collapsed as if Jesus had been miraculously sucked out of it, which is what had happened, they believed because this couldn't happen naturally. And then, of course, there were the two disciples who were quit and were walking to Emmaus, and Jesus had the Lord's Supper with them, and that was what they needed to see. He was showing his hand. That was what they needed to see to believe. So later in the day, 120 disciples are in the upper room. The doors are locked. You can imagine it's sweaty, stuffy. Everybody's nervous. They believe basically that Jesus is dead. They've wasted their lives. And they're also afraid that because they were associated with Jesus, that they might be wrapped up by the soldiers and crucified also. Or now the body has been stolen, so maybe they will be accused of stealing Jesus' body. And then there's that other thought, if Jesus is really alive, and he comes and says, why are you doubting? That's a bit scary too. So they're afraid both of the soldiers and of Jesus himself. And Jesus appears. The stone didn't trap him in the tomb, and the doors that they've locked can't keep him out. Nothing can keep him out. So Jesus comes in and goes, what's wrong with you guys? No, he doesn't do that. He could have said, I told you I'd be awake on the third day. Why didn't you come with morning tea? We could have had a celebration. I sent you witnesses. It was Mary who came and Peter and John who came and the Emmaus disciples. You're fired. I need some new disciples. No, instead he says, peace be with you. Peace that passes all understanding. How does he give them this peace? He shows them the wounds in his hands. The peace, his hands paid the price so that you could be forgiven, they could be forgiven. His peace, his hands give you the sign that you can face death and know that you'll live. The promise that you'll live forever. And also the peace that we need even when we face persecution or attack in our faith. Meanwhile, Thomas is on his own. Perhaps he went out to get pizza for everybody. Maybe just needed a break from that 120 nervous people. Anyway, it's hard to believe on your own. Once you separate yourself from other believers, you know, it's like that story of coals in a fireplace. They can be nice and burning, but as soon as you take one coal off to the side, it slowly goes gray and cold. So once we separate ourselves from other believers, it's very hard to keep your faith going. And so Thomas comes back. He knocks on the door, probably gives the secret code word. They pull him in, and there's total bedlam. They're going like, we've seen the Lord. He's alive. He's alive. And Thomas isn't buying this. Perhaps this is mass hysteria. Imagine your friend died yesterday, and now one of your other friends says, I met him up the street this morning. You go, yeah, right. It's funny. It's one of those things that does happen. Often when I've had a funeral, I will see who I think is that person the next day in the grocery store, and then they turn around and you go, oh, whoops, it isn't quite. You know, but it's your heart missing them. That's why you actually think you see them often. So, you know, he thinks, yeah, well, what's going on here? And they keep telling him, we've seen the Lord. Thomas is hurt. Why didn't he appear to me? Thomas feels tricked. This is the hardest test. I gave everything. I lost my job. I did everything to follow Jesus. And then he failed. And now these people are saying he's back. Jesus is a charlatan. I'm not going to be gullible again, tricked by him again. And yet there are 120 people who are saying they saw Jesus. How do you balance this out? He's refusing to believe in spite of the facts. And so he goes, unless I see the nail marks in his hands, and I put my finger where, this is gruesome, and I put my finger where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. A week later, so that's next Sunday, again, the disciples are there, 120, all in locked doors, sweaty, stuffy, nervous. And Jesus appears and says, Thomas, where is your faith? Nah. Where is your faith? Are you a heathen? You're fired. No, he doesn't do that. He knew what Thomas needed. He said, put your finger in my hands. This is nervous because Jesus wasn't in the room. How does he know what Thomas said? He hears our prayers, right? He doesn't have to be in the room. So he goes, put your finger in my hands. Put your hand in my side. Actually, he never put his finger in that. He didn't need to, right? He didn't need to in the end. Instead, he says, my Lord and my God. This may be a bit tricky to understand, but what he's actually saying is the Greek equivalent of Jehovah, Yahweh. So he's saying, Jesus, you are the God that was on Mount Sinai and gave Moses the Ten Commandments. You are Jehovah, you are Yahweh, you are the true God, you are the one who created everything. His confession of faith has jumped past everyone else's at this point. He's the first one to call Jesus the true God. His life has changed. He ends up being a missionary. He goes to India, and there are many churches, St. Thomas churches in India today. We are all tempted to doubt, to unbelief. And it can come through tragedy, sickness, death of a loved one, facing death yourself, marriage difficulties, financial difficulties, harvest problems, you name it. All of these things can shake our life. Why is it so easy? Why is doubt and unbelief so easy? In our confession of faith today from Luther's Catechism, it said, I believe that on my own I can never come to Jesus Christ my Lord, or believe in him, no matter how hard I try. The Holy Spirit has led me to know and to trust in Jesus. It is not natural for us to believe. It is unnatural. That's why it takes the work of the Holy Spirit. And to not believe is to resist the Holy Spirit. So what do we do when we are tempted to doubt? Turn to Jesus. Take your doubt to Jesus. Whether that's in prayer, in worship, Bible study, the Lord's Supper, talking to other Christians, share your doubt. Let others minister to you. Jesus cares for you. He cares for you when you're weak, when your faith is strong, but he also cares for you when your faith is weak. So I've had many times of bad doubt in my life when my faith has been attacked. And surely the Lord's Supper has been good, but there's also been people who have come to me, whether it's Pastor Len Gershwitz, my wife Colleen, the Hug a Mugs group, all sorts of people at church, all sorts of people. And of course, we also need to remember our own miracles, those car accidents where you knew it was the end and yet miraculously you were spared, those times when you had bad sickness and didn't sound good and yet you were spared, answers to prayer. Jesus sends people of faith as our comfort, our encouragers. So to the disciples, the 120, he sent Mary Magdalene, Peter and John, the Emmaus disciples. To me, Colleen, Len, the Alpha groups that I've run. And particularly this last year, remarkably, we're having 4 adult baptisms. In 50 years, this has never happened to me. So next week is our 4th one. And there's another in line for a few months down the track. This is weird. But what else is there to hold on to in today's world? The whole place seems to have... Anything that we thought was our security has been shaken, hasn't it? We hear that every night on the news. You know, just, let's just stir you up a bit more, right? Everything has been shaken. We need something to hold on to. We really need someone to hold on to us. And so it's Jesus. And so I've been encouraged in faith, like in Alpha, or talking to those who want to be baptized, as adults who want to be baptized. Or sometimes when I'm visiting the sick, they're actually ministering to me, not me ministering to them. Or answers to prayer in our life, or miracles in our life. So yes, Jesus comes to us through these various ways. Our doubt is an attack of, does God love me? Yes, God does love you. Every time we see the crucifix, every time we think of Jesus dying for us, we know he absolutely loves you. Does God care for me? Those miracles in your life, those strange things that happen in your life, they could be, you know, accidents or just flukes. I don't think there are flukes in the world, not when it comes to God. So there are the miracles in your own life, the answers to prayer. Yes, God is real. And yes, your faith will be attacked. But Satan loses. Every time we come through a time of doubt, our faith is actually on a level above the one before. Each one we are strengthened and able to strengthen others. And so now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and mind safe in Christ Jesus. Amen.